Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 15th on the West Coast, now April the 16th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We'd like to welcome all those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Before bringing on tonight's special guest, just want to say a couple of things about what I see going on around the world. And I guess you could gauge a lot of that by the kind of email that you get, or you could gauge it on, let's say, research that you may be doing. And you inevitably run into the things that are going on around the world, at least what the mainstream media is reporting. And it seems like there have been a couple of people who have recently come out of the mainstream media spilling the beans on the financial corruption, the games being played on Wall Street in the stock markets. I heard an interview earlier this evening that was quite interesting. I was very familiar with the facts, but I found that it was interesting that this is starting to come out in some magazines and a couple of newspapers. What I want to say about that is that there seems to be a heck of a lot of deception. When someone finally comes out of the mainstream after 3 or 4 or 5, maybe more years, even 15 or 20 years in some instances, and starts reporting about this massive corruption that's been going on, and everyone jumps on the fact that someone out of the mainstream came forward. Now, these are the people that have been lying to us and deceiving us. There has been a lot of deception. That's what I think we're going to talk about tonight, is the deception that's going on, because it's not only going on in government and what's really going on with the banks and the money and the corporations and chemtrails and pharmaceuticals and oil. It's all a bunch of lies. It's a pack of lies, and it has been for many, many years. And you see this come in the email, too. You see these articles that that people are just falling head over heels for somebody that just came out last week, and they have this idea. And when you begin looking into these people, you can't find anything on them. And what I mean to say is, you know, these people are being lauded across the country as patriots, as movers and shakers, as people that have these creative ideas, and no one knows anything about who they're working for, what their real goal is. And the deception is obviously there when you can't find a picture of a person, or you can't find a real name for this person. Or when you see a pattern in the name that you're able to find, you're able to identify this person as being a player in the big game that's going on across the planet. And, of course, they're not going to admit it. They could be under mind control, or they could be actively participating, having been highly trained and skilled in public speaking and motivating people with neuro-linguistic programming. I mean, we got a guy in the White House right now, just like that, that came from that very background I'm describing. So we're going to discuss this a bit with tonight's guest. I haven't prepared him, and I haven't really prepared myself, other than for us to speak off the cuff and sort of discern what we've been witnessing happening, because I know he's in tune to this. He does his own radio show, broadcasts his own radio show, Monday through Friday or Tuesday through Saturday. I keep messing this up because he added another day to his show. So I should say Sunday through Friday or Monday through Saturday. I think that would sound better, depending on where you are in the world. His show is called A Marine's Disquisition, former U.S. Marine, from 1967 through 1977. My good friend, by way of the late Marianne Ponder, his name is Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show, sir.
And special delivery on request by the United States Postal Law Order, because here I am, special guest. Special, I don't know. Well, I'd like to comment, as you mentioned at the very beginning of your little rant about, you mentioned CO2.
That wasn't a rant. That was just my introduction.
introduction. Well, I call it a rant. Anything over 30 seconds is a rant.
Okay.
Anyway, bottom line is, you're talking about the CO2. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome, I will also want to welcome Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio Network listeners around the world, especially my United States Marines on active duty and inactive duty retired, because they tune into this show specifically live around the world on Thursday night. Many of them record this show because it interferes with their daily daytime program, and they play it in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But this show, in many of the cases, is played live. So, and I hope and pray that you'll send emails to either myself or Don Nikoloff or to Blog Talk Radio, or specifically BBS Radio, and let them know that you appreciate the carry of the show, and you already are thanking the Wind Talkers. So with all of that said, when you said a minute ago about carbon monoxide information, you did say that, correct?
Well, I didn't say carbon monoxide. I said chemtrails.
Chemtrails. Well, yeah. We have this correlation spectrometer. It's called a SCOPEC.
Mm-hmm.
And it measures the correlation that has been in use. This machine has been in use for over two decades, and it measures the sulfur dioxide emissions that we find out in around the world at volcanoes. And recently, a helicopter flying an archaeologist who happens to be equipped with a COSPEC, decided he would fly into one of these chemtrails and found a large emission of sulfur dioxide and an emission of CO2 gases.
Hmm.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, a LICOR does not lie. A LICOR is a piece of machinery that is an infrared analyzer that measures CO2 emission rate at volcanoes. And we have this society of men and women that Don is, we're going to talk about these people who are cheating you, no matter what country you're in. They're the elite. I refer to them as the elite, the Illuminati, the fascist, Stalinist, communist, Maoist, Pol Potism filth.
Don't forget the Zionists.
Oh, and the Zionists, the Zionists are right there at the very top of this echelon of men and women. Some are leaders, some are behind-the-scenes shakers, but they are all controlled elitists. And it's not something new. It dates 5,000 years. There's always been somebody out there that wants to control other people. And God put us here, humankind, here on this planet, for us to communicate with each other, to honor each other, live our life in liberty, and the lessons that we learn here carry us together in the spirit form for eternity. You feel the flesh needs, you feel the flesh now, only because you're going to need that for eternity and remembering the heartache, and you won't remember the heartache because we've been promised we won't. But we're to remember the gratification in our friendship with others. And those people that are evil, they will not exist. They will not, in our eternal life, they will never have existed. Nikola Tesla, bent the time continuum, and time is now what it was then, what it will be tomorrow. And Don Nikoloff, I don't want to get onto a big rant, but I wanted to start off with the CO2 lies, because we have a former vice president that has made several $100 million, bordering on $1 billion, from being basically broke and $500,000 in debt when he left office, because he had squandered his government salaries as a senator and as a vice president in bad investments on Wall Street. But now he's put $1 billion, and he sits there wanting you people to believe in this diatribe of world global warming and this Barack Hussein Obama long-legged, short-legged Mac Daddy in Washington, and all of these elitists, they want you to pay. And they say, well, we paid $1,500,000 in taxes. Well, wait a minute. Look at the big picture of this short-legged Mac Daddy. So we paid $1,500,000 in taxes. But when you start looking at it, you find out, well, wait a minute, how much money did he give away to charity? $380,000. And why? How did he make as a short-legged Mac Daddy usurper? How did he all of a sudden go from $2.55 million in income the year before he usurped the office of the presidency to $5.5 million? For 2009, it was because of his popularity on the book, a book that he didn't even write. Don Nikoloff proved that. And yet, he's making all this money, but he can't prove where he was born. He can't even prove that he is a human being. He can't prove he's born on this planet. And all of you come out and say, well, the president of Kenya now says and admits that he was born in Kenya. Is that also a lie? Is that just to prove that he was, to give some evidence that he was born in Kenya and he's a human being? And he's from the natural conception of a man and a woman? $5.5 million, and he gave $380,000. That's not even 10%. That's not what God says. But all of the elitists, all of the rich, from Nazi Pelosi all the way to Biden, they're cheating you. And it's not just here in the United States. It's also going on in Russia. We're just now learning how many billionaires and millionaires there are in Russia. And the slave, people think, well, oh, well, slavery's been outlawed since the slave traders of the Confederacy. Which Confederacy, ladies and gentlemen? There was the Confederacy of the 13 colonies. But those of you that are ignorant from the truth, you want to call the 11 states of the southern hemisphere of the United States the Confederacy, but it was a war of northern aggression against sovereign peoples. And many people today, black and white and American Indian, all admit that the wrong side won. You stop and think about what Don Nikoloff does when he goes out and he investigates, what BBS Radio does in their fantastic lineup of shows, and not just on one network, but on four. And this is one of the things that Wind Talkers Radio Network feeds off of. Pulls in the shows for the listeners where they are, whether they're in Sochi, Russia, or whether they're in the five territories of the outback of Australia, whether they're listening there on one of the higher plateaus of Venezuela, or they're downtown Dublin, Ireland, or on Highway 8 out of Dunedin, New Zealand. or relaxing in Hot Springs. And that's not Hot Springs, Arkansas. That's Hot Springs, the North Island of New Zealand. And have you heard anything about the massive evacuation of the people in Iceland because of a volcano? Have you bothered to look at the CO2 emulsions and the sulfur dioxide emulsions that come out of volcanoes? One volcano, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Department of Volcano Research, one volcano spews more CO2 and sulfur gas in one day than has been created by the entire population of this planet over the last 200 years. 200 years! One volcano, one day, and right this minute, this exact minute. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 12 active known volcanoes, active 12 known volcanoes in the world, spewing potash, gas, sulfur, and carbon dioxide, not in an explosive nature, but a constant spewing. And when you said, well, what do you mean known? What about the, that implies there's an unknown group of volcanoes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there is a vast number of unknown volcanoes that are erupting in the oceans around the world. And every once in a while, somebody that's sailing around the world gets off the beaten track of the normal ship lanes, and they discover these underground or underwater volcanoes. The last three, one was located off the coast of Venezuela, 212 miles to the northeast by north. The one that we have surprising pictures of was just last year, was down north by northwest of the islands in the Pacific that we call the United States Virgin Islands. And a sailboat with a motor and a crew literally came upon potash and dirt floating on the ocean. And they sat at a distance of 20 miles and watched the formation of an island because of a volcano that was erupting under the sea, shooting a vast, massive amount of potash, sulfur, carbon monoxide, As a new island was created. And here today in Iceland, there's a volcano erupting that has stopped, literally stopped, all aircraft flying into and out of Great Britain, into and out of Ireland, into and out of Scotland. But are you hearing the story? Are you being told about the potash and the sulfur dioxide and the carbon monoxide that makes it dangerous for planes to fly into this cloud? And this cloud is a cloud covering 300 square miles, and it's floating south by southeast across Ireland, across Great Britain, and headed toward where? Europe. It's going to dissect Europe much like you dissect a loaf of bread. And why are they putting the warnings out? Because the gases will poison the crew and the passengers in a passenger air travel. And there's a chemical? Whoa, did you hear that? Did I read this? Do I read this? Chemical that is in this cloud that eats the metal? Eats the metal enclosures within the engines of aircraft. Therefore, the world is advising all pilots to fly above and beyond all cloud cover, and they're monitoring this cloud as we speak. Bob Chapman brought it out on my show today.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
So where's the truth out there, Don? And you and I go down the rabbit hole. I carry a flashlight, and you bring the crane. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about a drag train that a Chevy S10 pickup looks like a nut and a bolt next to it. Anyhow, the typical inside information that I get from a LICOR, from a friend of mine that is a pilot, former United States, decorated United States Vietnam veteran, who's 64 years old, should be retiring, and he says, damn, I turned 65 April the 19th, and I'm going to have to work. My wife turned 65 on March the 31st, and if we stop working and collect Social Security, we have to be on food stamps.
And you remember,
we barely pay our bills.
Yeah, Drew, you remember a few years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, they were pushing to have an early retirement date, 19, I think it was around 1991 or 92, they were suggesting that people consider retiring by the age
at
of
55.
Well, they were saying 62, 3 years early.
Oh yeah, but they were hinting at people that had been in employment for the same company for 30 years. That's people that went to work in the military at age 25 and decided to stay in for 30-year tours, or people that worked for Ford Motor Company, had 30 years employment, or working for just about any corporation out there,
and
multi-million-dollar corporation. They wanted, if they had 30 years of consecutive employment with that company, the government was saying you should consider taking early retirement at 55 to make room for the massive amount of college kids that were graduating. And here we are, 2010, and where are the college kids going to get a job today? Law firms in New York are laying off men and women over the age of 50 with no retirement whatsoever who've been working with the law firm for 20 years or 15 years or 10 years, but they're not heavy producers. And they're bringing in a new flock of young men and young women right out of Yale and Harvard, the two top law schools, because these guys can come in and work for $45,000 a year salary, and that saves the partnership $50,000 because they're paying a man or a woman that's 45 and over $125,000 a year. So they're laying them off so they can hire two or three college kids that are 22 to 25 years old and pay them an entry-level fee of $45,000 a year. Ladies and gentlemen, that $4,000 a month, that's a pretty hefty salary for a kid that's in debt, for a kid that's never worked in his life.
Yeah,
but what about the man and woman that's 45 to 55 years old that's got children that are in college? What about them?
Those college graduates are going to be paying off those student loans, if they do it all, over a 20-year period. You see, they're looking at the...
They're in involuntary servitude. You heard me mention that today if you listened to my show in the second hour.
I did.
And ladies and gentlemen, you don't think that we're in involuntary servitude? You think our forefathers fought and died for liberty? For nothing? They fought and died for liberty, yes. Not freedom. Freedom is nothing more than the right to do something that is illegal, but the government gives you a license so you can do it, such as a driver's license. They have admitted that it's against the law to travel across the freeways of America unless you get freedom to travel on them with a driver's license. Can you see George Washington traveling to Washington, D.C. to meet with Congress with a license plate tacked on to old Betsy the horse? Can you witness Andrew Jackson traveling through Tennessee with a license on his wagon and on the back end of his horse? Think about the stupidity of a license on a car. when a car is nothing more than a piece of equipment, much like your refrigerator or your washer and dryer, both of which have a manufacturer's stamp with a serial number on it? What's wrong with putting a serial number on the back end of a car permanently welded there, and you file the documents with the state one time when you pay a one-time tax to buy it, and you think that you live free? You don't live free. You live in servitude. My own girlfriend has three friends that are airline stewardesses with Orloff Airlines, and I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation for those of you in Russia. I apologize. But these three girlfriends of hers, all in their 30s, look like they belong in the pages of Playboy, fly back and forth into New York, and when they come back to Russia, they talk about the overhanded operations of police officers. When they land in New York, because of their air flight time, they have to wait 10 hours. According to their airline rules, before they can fly again. They want their stewardesses to have at least 8 hours of sleep time. Most of the stewardesses go to Broadway shows or watch American TV news, and they see all of the involuntary servitude that people live in. They don't want to live here. As bad as Russia was in the last 20 years of before its demise, it was better than the way you live here now. And now in Russia, in the Ukraine, especially in the Crimean Peninsula, you can get on any one of the autobahns, as the Germans call them, and travel for 8 hours, and you might see Mike. I said might, in an eight-hour period, see one police officer, one patrol car. And if you see him stopped on the side of the road, he's not issuing green stamps and taking names and numbers. He's usually there helping somebody that had a flat tire or somebody that ran out of gas or somebody that went to sleep at the wheel and they crashed their car and it's a major accident. Major accident. But they don't ask you for your papers, please. If you happen to run a red light in Munich, Germany, the cameras on the side of the street take a picture of your license plate and they mail you the ticket. No court cost, just a $50 fine.
Yeah, they do the same thing in Switzerland, too.
There's no harassment. You think that people are not harassed? Ask Melissa Hopkins. Melissa Hopkins is a talk show analyst and talk show host on Blog Talk Radio, melissahopkins.com, one of the premier independent news reporters that works out of Washington, D.C., went to visit a friend of hers at 11:30 one night, had two glasses of wine to calm her friend down. And at 2:45, some 3 hours later, after getting out of bed, driving into Washington at a late hour in one of the most dangerous cities on the planet, had two glasses of wine and attempts to drive home, is accosted by a local Virginia city cop, taken to jail for DUI, and beaten. My father, God bless his soul, in the 1960s drove a 1967 Galaxy 500. And those of you that know what a Galaxy 500 was in 1967, it was like a Sherman tank. And he drove it to two telephone poles that was barely 5 feet wide. And you're talking about what was left of that Galaxy 500 that was made out of steel? You could put it in a big trunk. and yet he walked away from that with a scratch on his left arm, and his artificial leg was broken. We joked about many for a long time. We joked over the fact, did the doctors put his left leg in a cast? He had lost his leg in World War II from the, just below the knee, 4 inches below the kneecap on the left knee. He had a replacement as an amputee. And in that accident, that artificial leg was broken in half. That was the biggest danger. And Daddy had to walk around on crutches for 3 days waiting for his new leg to come in. The only 3 days that I ever saw him straight sober. But that was the PTSD from World War II, ladies and gentlemen. I suffer the same experience today from Vietnam, only because of 3 trips into Vietnam and Cambodia. Don, I got way off the subject and started ranting there. I know you want to talk about these usurpers out there.
You talked about 30 seconds for sure. So I knew you were on a rant.
Well, I'm looking at my clock, and the little hand has moved from the 4 over there. From the big hand has moved from the 4 over close to the 7. So I thought I'd had my 2 cents worth.
Well, we were talking about deception, and it's everywhere. I read a piece yesterday that was talking about the lieutenant colonel that was deployed to Afghanistan, and he risked court-martial and was court-martialed for disobeying the orders to go, and he's demanding the short-legged Mac Daddy's certificate of live birth to prove that he's an American. Now, that's a legitimate...
Well, and wait a minute, hold it. Now, let's clarify that. Because of the orders that are sending him to Afghanistan are orders by the short-legged Mac Daddy, this officer has 101% right to question, pursuant to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, any order that he feels as an officer or enlisted man in the armed forces, the right to question any legal order of his command.
Mm-hmm.
And the command letter that puts him in Afghanistan is the orders of Barack Hussein Obama, not George W. Bush, but the Barack Hussein Obama who extended and increased the movement, battlefield movement of military men from Iraq into Afghanistan. Therefore, he has 101% right to demand, I want to see this man's life certificate of birth, because if he is not a natural-born citizen of one of the 50 states in the Union, he has no authority to issue these orders.
Nor does he have authority to sign laws.
Just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, and this soldier has been serving for 18 years.
18 years, 3 months, and 12 days, and they want to give him a lobotomy, so to speak.
Yeah, they start the spin for the dumbed-down American public. They start the spin of, you know, this guy's going to have psychological evaluations, and come on. This is deception, okay? They're deceiving everyone, except those that understand and know the truth. And not that I really want to talk about this character, Drew, you know, because I'm nauseated.
Oh, you want to talk about me?
No, but I'm nauseated with the topic already.
Oh, with this short-legged Mac Daddy in Washington?
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, things are coming to a head. James David Manning has got a court, a sovereign judicial court coming forth here next month. And got news for you. Don, guess who's sitting on the jury for this grand jury?
Let's see. Well, I don't know.
It's being held
grand jury
in
secret. So
in Harlem, just a block away from Columbia University. So the 12 individuals that have been drawn as independent observers.
Oh, they're probably Columbia students, huh?
No, they're independent men and women who put their names in the hat with copies of their live birth certificates, copies, certified copies of their own live birth certificates to sit on the grand jury. And, Don, they're all black, except for two of them. And the two of them that aren't all black, their mothers are white and their fathers are black. And they, and their fathers filled out their certificates of citizenship, i.e. the census report, and crossed out all the BS that was there and wrote Negro. Now, ladies and gentlemen, honest men and women in America with their heritage of black, they know that their heritage is that they are from a Negro tribe in Africa, and they're proud of it. My own professor that I work with, as well as two professors at the university I went to school with, all three of these men were black, and they literally would get livid when somebody would say they were a black an Afro-American. Dr. Felix D. Taylor, blind, black, short and fat, and he's proud of it, stands up front and says, I want somebody to give me proof of what an African-American is. I didn't know that there was any Africans born on this soil. If they're African, they need to get the hell out of here and go home. There's no such thing as an African-American. You're either a Negro, or you're an American Indian, or you're a Caucasian, or you're a mutt, like Drew. And he proudly calls me a mutt, because I am a mutt. I have ancestry in the American Indian tribe. I have ancestry into the French-Canadian tribes. I have ancestry that leads directly back to Ireland, Scotland, Germany, the Ukraine, France, Wales, and Italy. My ancestry has colorful men and women, such as Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, such as Andrew James Rain, the bodyguard for George Washington. Men such as Daniel Raines, who were FBI officers working directly in the same office with J. Edgar Hoover in the 1930s. But I'm more proud of the three of these ancestors more than anybody else. Other than Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, a Quaker, who believed that all men have a right to live in liberty and freedom, who feel that he did not have a free thought of his own until obtaining the rank of Major General and leaving the service, was my great-grandfather, 98 years old, farming 300 acres of land, cotton, tobacco, and corn in Webster Parish, Louisiana, at 98 years old, led four wagon teams of corn, tobacco, and vegetables into the town of Cotton Valley, Louisiana, 98 years old, armed with a Colt 45 that he affectionately wrote in his diaries in 1881 that he owned his own peacemaker, finally. But he was killed in a shootout because of a bunch of white abolitionists robbing a bank in Cotton Valley. He and the sheriff and two deputies were killed in that fight, along with the four robbers. And who killed the robbers? Not only did one, my great-grandfather, one of the men that helped stop the fight, but the men that owned the businesses in Cotton Valley. They reached under the counter, grabbed their shotguns, their rifles, their pistols, and they had a nice little shootout. But you don't read that in the storybooks of history because they were all killed. And they were, they never, those men never robbed a bank before or, well, obviously since. So there wasn't anything to write in the big books other than the shootout of Cotton Valley.
But see, Drew, all of what you're saying most likely can be documented to one extent or another.
Correct, and that's why I mentioned it, because it's there, documented. There's no deception. We go to the deception of Biden, Clinton, Bush,
McCain,
short-legged MacDaddy, Kennedy,
McCain,
Palin,
Eisenhower,
Truman,
Roosevelt.
Which one?
Both of them.
No, there were three.
Well, I'm talking about the two that were presidents.
Oh, okay. Because there was one that was a brigadier general that died 3 days after D-Day of a heart attack in France. That received the Medal of Honor posthumously.
And you might as well throw in Clinton too.
Well, I did throw Clinton in. He was second or third. Oh, I know who I left out. Albert, climate man, world aristocratic.
Inventor of the internet.
Who says that the oceans are going to swallow up the coastlines when the ice melts in the Antarctic or the Arctic. Ladies and gentlemen, the ice in the Arctic is like water in a glass. Take a bucket and fill it up with water, about two-thirds, and then put ice in it all the way up to the waters right at the brim. And then set it out in the sun and watch it melt. And tell me that, that ice is going to melt, and after it melts, all that water is going to flow outside that bucket. That's exactly what the Arctic is. Nothing more, nothing less is a lot of ice. It doesn't sit on landmass. It sits on water.
Water evaporates, too, and moves around,
Exactly. And the amount of evaporation of the ice from the Antarctica, that's for those of you in Yorba Linda, that's south of the South Pole. The evaporation of water from the oceans, from the ice melt at Antarctica, doesn't mount to a flea on the backside of a German Shepherd. And where do you think all this water is going to come from when all the ice melts? The only thing that you have to worry about in New York City, Charlotte, North Carolina, or Jacksonville, Florida, especially Miami, Florida, you need to be worrying about that volcano over there in the archipelago in the Canary Islands. Because if that volcano blows, and the archaeologists say it's going to blow, it's just not... Is it going to be 500,000 years from now? Is it going to blow this year? And half of that volcano and the landmass that is on that volcano has no place to go. There is no landmass for that volcano when it erupts, like Mount St. Helens, all of that landmass, over 2 billion tons, is going to flow into the Atlantic Ocean, according to scientists from Rockefeller University in New York. And they say that is going to create a tsunami that's going to send waves across the Atlantic Ocean between 600 and 700 miles an hour at a height of 600 feet to 800 feet. Think about a wall of water 600 feet high, ladies and gentlemen. Go downtown in your major city of 50,000 or more and measure any one of your tall buildings, except in Washington, D.C. They don't have any tall buildings in Washington, D.C. higher than Washington's Monument. And think about what 600 feet of water moving at 600 miles an hour will do to the coastline from Miami to Nova Scotia. Because that's how long, that's how far the wave is going to measure, according to the scientists at several universities. And the deception continues. Oh, everything is fine. Pay your taxes. Get out there and do your thing. Oh, I made $5 million and I gave $300,000 to charity. Because you bought my book. I netted, that's what you got to look at, ladies and gentlemen. $5.5 million, he netted $3 million. What can you do if you make $100,000 a year? What can you do, ladies and gentlemen? Ask yourself, what can you do with $1.5 million that you can't do with $1 million? What about $3.5 million that comes to you out as a gravy train while you sit there drawing a salary of $250,000 and you have your own personal bodyguard service 24/7, your own personal jet 747 or 757 that'll fly you anywhere in the world whenever you want to on a whim, or pick up the phone for pizza night
from St. Louis?
From St. Louis.
or
oh, I need to take my wife out for a night out in New York City. Well, we're going to eat at such and such restaurant. And 350 Marines from 8th and I have to get dressed and go to New York City along with the Secret Service and lock down a two-block radius. A two-block radius, ladies and gentlemen, so the short-legged Mac Daddy could take his wife to dinner at the expense of the American taxpayer, and he proudly says, oh, well, I paid for the dinner myself. The dinner was $400. I paid for it with my own money. But it cost you, the taxpayers, $2.5 million for him to go up there and spend 4 hours in New York City. Or how about the night that his wife went to New York and ordered in room service. And room service included lobster, sturgeon, fish eggs, i.e. caviar, for those of you in Yorba Linda, you know that little black stuff out there, and organic crackers for $473 and a $100 tip. That cost you, the taxpayers of America, for her little jaunt to go up there as the first lady, $2 million. And here she is, she was in San Diego today, going out and looking at the local garden for the poor. A 5-acre tract where poor people who make less than $25,000 a year that live in the science project, as I call them, have a place to go plant tomatoes and watermelons and corn and harvest their own mediocre food while she wines and dines at a local restaurant on the taxpayer bill that costs $1,500.
Drew, you brought to mind a photograph that I was analyzing. And it sounds like I'm changing the subject, but it has everything to
do. Go ahead, it's your show.
It has everything to do with something you were talking about when you mentioned Columbia University and this story that he went to Columbia University and took a picture in South Central Park. The picture is of him wearing six colors of black pants that looked like they were sewn together because of the Photoshop type of compilation that the Photoshop.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, yeah, that's in my Three Stooges.
Goes to Washington? I must have missed that picture.
That picture, there's several pictures because I brightened the picture so you could actually see what was being hidden in the shadows. And, of course, the real shadows are absent from the photo. They created artificial shadows like they did with the African photos. And you would swear the man that they're saying was his grandfather, Stanley Armour Dunham, would have to have two left arms because it appears that his left arm is hanging at his side, but he's got his arm around his shoulder at the same time.
I like the picture that shows his right hand, but it's really his left hand, and his left hand, his right hand is really his left hand. They got the arms mixed up.
Yes, or that same photo I'm talking about, he's wearing his wedding ring
on his right hand.
No, on his left hand.
It is? Okay, I thought you were going to say it was on his right hand.
His wedding ring from 1992, which is in a picture taken in 1983.
Oh, yeah, I love that, Okay.
So all of the photos.
Oh, that's as bad as Eisenhower's home in Texas being built by a guy that was dead for 2 years.
Well, more than 2 years.
More than 2 years.
Yeah. The alleged builder of the home died in 1879. That's coming out in the next piece, by the way. So there's no way that the guy credited with building the house built the house then. In fact,
and how about the 9-year-old?
Yeah, and his landlord, if you were to trace the individual who was his landlord, he was 9 years old at the time that Eisenhower was born.
Landlord for Eisenhower's mom and daddy.
Yeah.
And yet he was 9 years old.
Yes. Okay, this is nothing but identity theft and fraud is all it is, you see. It's a story. It's just a story. And, you know, we've uncovered the lies of history. There's deception back in the 1950s. And I went down the rabbit hole, as you said.
No. You didn't go down there. You pulled that daggum drag train over there and started digging, and you, one scoop at a time, pulls up the state of Delaware.
Yeah. Drew, we got a call here. I'm presuming you wouldn't mind taking a call.
No, as long as it's a single girl.
No, it's. I hate to disappoint you. It's the male species.
Okay, well, as long as they're a human being from the planet Earth.
Okay.
That?
We've got on the line Kenneth in North Carolina. Kenneth, welcome to Evident Footprint.
No, Kenneth isn't a caller. He's a Marine.
Comment or question, sir?
I wanted you to be aware, a couple months ago, O'Reilly sat there and said that he's seen the birth certificate and that he knew Obama was born in the United States. Now, tonight, he says something different because he got a lot of emails from this. He said that there's two articles out there in Hawaii, and they showed the article, and it looked like it was written in instead of typed in. And
well,
that's
the
proof.
That's been published, and I covered that in my research, by the way.
Yeah, but
you have to understand who owned the Honolulu paper. The company that owned that paper will go back and insert it. But they did a lousy job at this. The lines are skewed. You know, all the text in that box alleging that this baby was born on August 4th of 1961. They're all skewed. The typeset is different. Everything. It looks like somebody cut it out with a piece of the with a pair of those scissors that they gave you when you were in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And then took some of that paste they used to give you that smelled like flour, and just stuck it on there. That's how bad of a forgery it is.
Yeah, they were talking about the colonel that was that you were talking about tonight, and they were debating back and forth and said that he didn't have no right of doing what he was doing, that he was going to be found guilty. They've already got it all. That's the way the mainstream media is doing it.
Well, yeah, they try all these cases on TV now because they know the courts are corrupt, but at the same time, they are corrupt too. They're all in. They're all playing the same game. Drew, comment?
Welcome to the show, Ken. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi to you too, Drew. You're doing a great show tonight, both of you. I just want to let y'all know about what he was saying, because it wasn't nothing but lies that he always does anyhow. So I'll let you guys get back to your ranting.
Okay. Thank you for your call. I'll make a comment on what he said. I was about to say that a while ago, and you went on another rant, Drew. But Jim Mikuláševsky and another writer for MSNBC together worked on a story that was about three paragraphs long about this lieutenant colonel. And they said that he's making the charge incorrectly, they put in parentheses, that Obama was not born in the United States. You see, there's another lie. And he was not born in the United States. In fact, you want to argue Hawaii, I've got the PDF, 150-some pages. I think it's 155 pages of the Sovereign Kingdom of Hawaii. They just told us Hawaii was a state. But the people in Hawaii have been saying for years that they're a sovereign kingdom. It's quite a document to read, because they've got registered mail to Washington, D.C. They've got an apology from Bill Clinton when he was president. I mean, what's he apologizing for? He was a phony as a $3 bill himself.
I got news for you. I'm waiting for this short-legged magdaddy in D.C. to come forth and says, "Will anybody that is having a trauma situation because their ancestor was a slave in one of the evil Confederate states, because we as Americans owe them restitution, we are granting them all a $500,000 assessment." Well, how about the American Indians, you jerk? You want to talk about world theft? What about the Hawaiians, you asinine excuse for a human being? Uneducated? The Hawaiian people were a sovereign nation. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, look at the President of the United States ordering troops to help the ambassador take over the Hawaiian government and have the king and the queen illegally sign documents surrendering Hawaii to the empire builders of the United States. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America, a.k.a. Washington, D.C., not the sovereign states, but the corporate state of Washington, D.C., the capital United States, have been nothing more than empire builders since the days of Washington, taking over lands and writing treaties with the American Indians, and then reneging and lying about them. Yep. Anybody that lives in California, Washington, Oregon, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Utah, Nevada, are living on lands that were stolen, 100% stolen, by either the United States of America, corporate society, the Kingdom of Spain, or the Russian Empire of Tsar Russia.
I agree with you on that.
And Alaska, the Russians had no authority to sell the lands of Alaska to the United States. We read in our history books that it's the folly. It wasn't a folly, it was fraud. And you talk about deception, Don. Deception dates all the way back. May 1st, 1776. The beginning of the modern day Luciferian Freemasons. Founded in Bavaria, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And within, we're talking about 1776, ladies and gentlemen. It took to 1824. A cool 48 years, ladies and gentlemen, for the Freemasons to infiltrate the Luciferian Freemasons of Bavaria. 48 years. Took them a short 5 generations to take over the sovereign Freemasons of the United States. And it's taken them 200 years, just shy. 14 years will be 200 years. To take over your liberty, your freedom, because you don't have liberty anymore. You have freedom with a license, and you laugh at me. Oh, Drew needs to go to jail again for not having a driver's license. You laugh at me. 150 years ago, people will pull their Colt 45s or their peacemakers, their single-shot musket rifles, and would have gone to war because who in the heck has the authority to tell me I have to have a fishing license? What do you mean I have to pay taxes on the land that I own? What are you talking about? I have to send my kids to school so they can be stupid? What are you talking about? My doctor has to go to some aristocratic school and have a license stuck on the wall when I watched him dress the wounds and save the lives of men in battle on the field of honor fighting as they usurped the American Indians, or in battle because they were trying to protect their homeland from northern aggressors. Why don't you read the history? General Sherman said, if I thought the war was about slavery, I'd be wearing a gray uniform. A gray uniform, not a blue. The Louisiana, Texas, Tennessee brigades, along with Alabama, South Carolina, all to the man, never signed a surrender agreement. General Beauregard, upon the learning of Robert E. Lee's surrender at the Appomattox and the surrender, only the surrender of the Army of Virginia, General Beauregard did not want to continue a fight because he had already fought bloody battles at Vicksburg. General Butler, not related to the Butler family, he was strictly a man of the aristocratic, super rich, only related to the Butler family of Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, through ancestors 300 years before, who controlled New Orleans, sent a General Davis to meet with General Beauregard to accept General Beauregard's surrender. General Beauregard refused to surrender his army, but surrendered the sword of honor and his regiment. And he wrote that he felt that the individual units of the counties of Mississippi and the parishes of Louisiana had the ultimate authority to surrender. But the cause of liberty was lost. General Beauregard went back to his plantation, mustered his 260 slaves, all 260 men and women that you classify as slaves cried when Beauregard said that they now had their freedom and that they were free men. And the plantation manager, who had been working directly under General Beauregard's wife, "What do we do now, sir?" quote unquote, in the archives of General Beauregard. "What do we do now?" General Beauregard said, "I will give each and every family 5 acres of my plantation for you to build your own home, farm your own vegetables, and live free." "What about the doctor, master? Who's going to take care of the children that are born to us?" General Beauregard reported in his diary that they were now free, and with freedom came responsibilities. All the way to the day of General Beauregard's death, he did everything he could, because he had managed these Negro men and women for 30 years, giving freedom to anyone that wanted it, writing up papers after 7 years. And many of these men and women would sign after 7 years, sign themselves back into involuntary servitude because they got 3 meals a day. Those of you that read the harsh unrealities of slavery, that's not true. That may have happened in some states, but it was so rare, it's pitiful. Most people didn't own more than 500 slaves ever. Most Southerners had one slave. It was usually a cook, a housemaid, that took care of the children, cooked the food, and was given a room over her head, and may be fortunate enough and lucky enough to have a husband who worked in the fields, in the barn, and the black couple had their own little cottage, ate 3 meals a day, the same food, and if they needed to go to town to get something for themselves, to buy a dress, if the family was wealthy enough, they would give them a dollar, because you could buy a dress for a dollar, but you could buy a dress making kit for 10 cents. And you could buy 2 yards of cloth for a nickel. And you could, with the dressmaking kit, you could cut out your own pattern and make your own dress, which a lot of women did. My mother did it in the 1950s. She made all of my clothes.
Did you wear dresses?
No. My mother was a registered nurse, but she took time out every week, 2 days. She had 2 days off as a registered nurse.
You didn't hear what I said, Drew.
No, I did not.
I said, did you wear dresses?
No, I wore, she made my slacks. I still have, Don, a silk pair of pants for a four-year-old that she seamed up and made up for a recital for tap dancing when I was 4 years old.
You know I was just kidding you.
I know you were but it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because I did have a dress for that same recital, because I was the only boy with all the damn girls. I was the only boy that went to ballet tap dancing class. 36 little girls. 30. I mean, you know, you look at these little cute little girls now, they're gorgeous. Little bitty girls, all 4 years old. And here's this monster 4-year-old boy with a slick head. I mean, you talking about shave? It wasn't shaved with a razor blade, but you could tell it was shaved with a shears, like a sheep. Stand out like a sore thumb. Pictures of me in one of those ballet dresses for men. She was cute. I'm not embarrassed. It was something I don't remember doing, other than the photographs and the write-up. And my mother went around and picked up the those things that they give you at the theater that show you the program.
Yeah.
She must have picked up 100 of them. The recital was held at Byrd High School. That's the auditorium was one of the largest auditoriums in Shreveport outside the Strand Theater, and it set like something in the neighborhood of like 650 people. And the recital was the recital for the tap dancing school that I was enrolled in, me and my oldest sister, and as well as the recital for three other tap dancing schools. And each school had 15 minutes over the 2 hour, over the program was a 3 hour long, and each school had 30 minutes total, but you got to do your portions 15 minutes, and then you waited in the back, off stage, getting your uniforms changed. And it was crowded. I mean, it was really crowded. Today, how many people today even send their kids out to ballet school? We all have records. Ladies and gentlemen, short-legged Mac Daddy hasn't got any records of anything.
That's true. And Drew, we've run out of time for the show this evening.
I'm glad you've run out of time. I got 24 hours a day, and it ain't even close yet.
And here we went. We started off by talking about deception, and now we're bringing out.
We ended with deception.
We ended with the truth, actually.
ended with the truth about deception. Because long-legged, short-legged MacDaddy, he can't show anything that his mother did.
No, he...
There's even David Manning can't find... He had 10 private investigators who volunteered their time. 10! According to Liz. No, Liz is his wife. And not one of them could find one person. Not one! Who went to school at Columbia University that had a picture or could remember a picture or, not A-R-E-O-R, could remember this usurper that we call Barack Hussein Obama. Don, I could pick up the phone right now and call kids that I went to school with at Golden West Junior College in Huntington Beach, and I guarantee you there's going to be at least one kid that's going to remember the Marine that would come to classes in uniform.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, my school, there's pictures there, you know.
I got a picture of me shaking hands with the professor that I hated. And I didn't, it's not a picture I took. It was a picture that was sent to me 2 years ago from one of the girls that went to school. I went to school with there.
But these are real photographs we're talking about. We're not talking fabrications, you see.
Oh, man, these are fantastic, in-depth, 100% real black and white photos.
Yeah.
Because most people took pictures in the 1975-76 era either with Kodachrome or it was fantastic black and white. Because black and white pictures were cheap.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, Drew, we do have to close the show, but I want to thank...
Yeah, no, Don wants to get some sleep.
I want to thank you for the history.
I don't mean you, I mean Don.
You mean Don Newsom. Well, even...
Well, his name's Don, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
Okay, well, I didn't mean you, I said Don. You know what your problem is? You got too many Dons. You need to come here and let me give you some of the owls. We'll trade. For every Don you give me, I'll give you an owl, and maybe we can send this running of people's names together.
You got Little Rock Owl, Colorado Owl.
Shreveport Al, St. Louis Al, in Ireland, Al in Venezuela, Al in where's Al Fitzgerald at from? Arizona.
Well, in Washington, they've got Al Qaeda.
Oh yeah, we forgot about Al Qaeda too.
All right,
Don Newsom. God bless you, sir. You have a great network. To all my Marines around the world, I got that manure coffee, and I'm having a cup of it. God bless and semper fi.
Drew, thanks for being on the show. I wish you a good night, sir, and look forward to being on your show this coming Monday.
You're going to show up this time?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I'll be there. Folks, that about wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints, and tonight's guest, Drew Malone Raines III. You can visit Drew's website at amd.elequity.com, and his show airs on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com on the Internet. Special thanks to both Wind Talkers and Blog Talk Radio, as well as bbsradio.com. I'd like to thank both Seth and possibly Don Newsom on the sound tonight. Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Our caller Ken from North Carolina, and all of you listeners out there for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Mr. Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.